A very warm welcome to the programme on this rather cold night. The programme's called Excuse Me, edition number 225, with the dateline of Sunday the 18th of January 2015. In tonight's show, artists including The Monkees, Cat Stevens and loads more. You'll find out all those names between now and one in the morning. Tonight's teaser is You Know the Song, But Who Is the Singer? The middle hour is a guest appearance of songwriter Tony Hiller, who has over 1,000 songs to his credit. We shall play but a handful. Tony is now aged 88, and he tells us about his life and times in the music business. The pre-recorded programme includes music from Cliff Richard, Brotherhood of Man, Sonia, The Fortunes, and a number of records that appeared in the charts sung by football clubs. In the last hour of the programme, there'll be a musical tribute to Dozy of Day D, Dave D, Dozy, Beaky Mick and Titch, and also Ronnie Ronald, both of whom have died in the last week. In the final half hour of the programme, we shall listen to five records that reached the charts, basically. They were very popular, spanning five decades from the 1950s to the 1990s. We began this week with a little humour from Lance Percival. 1965, that record was around. There's another one behind. This is a Scusi three-hour type programme from the BBC in the Eastern Counties. BBC Norfolk, Suffolk, Essex, Peterborough, Cambridgeshire, Northamptonshire, Lincolnshire and BBC Three Counties Radio. And to listeners worldwide on iPlayer, the internet and DAB Digital. BBC Local Radio in the Eastern Counties with yours truly, Cardboard Shoes, Keith Skews. And I have a special guest for you this Sunday evening. He wrote the song Caroline for the Fortunes and was creator of the group The Brotherhood of Man. Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Hiller. Well, greetings, Tony. We have 1 hour to cram in a very distinguished career. You began your show business life, really, as one half of the Hiller Brothers song and dance duo with your brother, Irving. And you worked with big names like Al McCogan, Tommy Cooper, Val Dunican, Matt Munro, Kathy Kirby, and many, many more. Was this round about the late 1950s?
Around that. It was around that time. It was a very exciting time, in as much it was the business really was a cottage industry, because when I started, it was all sheet music. Records were very, very new. They were just fighting to get on, but the strength of printed music was the thing. That was the finance of the day.
What did your act as the Hiller Brothers comprise?
Well, funny enough, we started off with an opener, whatever it was. There'd be an opener, and then we did a sort of impression act. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to welcome you to the Hiller Brothers, and then take off names and to sing like other singers. It was a pure situation of that kind.
I mentioned a few names that you'd worked with. Do any names, a number of years later, I mean, we're talking 50, 60 years onwards, but do any of those names stick in your mind working with these fantastic artists who were leading lights of their day?
It's a wonderful thing about writing and hearing your songs sung by these artists. Some enormous names, some new, but each one is an exciting challenge. And you write your songs, you're going in what they call demo the thing, you go in a studio, cheap one of course, because we had no money, and you put down the piano and we sing harmonies and we make it sound commercial. And then from then we would go around to look at the publishers and they hope they will give us, we can visit them and we play it too with them, my brother and I, we almost like an act, we sing the song, and occasionally they would like a song. Then what would happen is they would buy the song. They won't literally buy the song. They won't give me money, or they will give me money, but as an advance against what they call future royalties. So whatever you earn on that song, the publisher would take the money away from the originator.
So when did you actually decide, I, Tony Hiller, am now going to write songs as well as performing as you did with your brother Irving? sitting down writing the songs, did you write the music or did you write the words or did you do both? And what was your very first song you wrote?
The first song we wrote, I'll answer the others later, but the first song is a song we wrote. My brother Irving and a friend of mine, Danny Newman, was a song called I Go For You. It was like at the end of the war. We couldn't believe it. One of our songs is on the B and they're playing it wonderful.
Tony, looking back a couple of years, maybe 5 or 6, maybe a lot longer, what was your first hit?
My first big hit was a song I wrote with the late, great Johnny Goodison, a song called United We Stand. It was written by a band which I put together called The Brotherhood of Man. It was an enormous hit. We sold millions of the record. Over 150 different artists in the world do that. And all over the world, in all countries. So it's been a very, very important song for us.
There's nowhere in the world that I would rather be than with you, my love. And there's nothing in the world that I would rather see than your smile, my love. For united we stand, divided we
charts of February and March of 1970. Brotherhood of Man and United We Stand. Now, the name Brotherhood of Man was your decision, Tony. But why that name, and what did the group comprise?
There was two men and two women, but the name was Wright. The name of the act, Brotherhood of Man. It was writing a love song, and the lyric tells you that, you know, we'll always be right. We do things together. We'll be good to each other. It wasn't religious, and it wasn't one of those songs, but it felt right. Everything was right when people were singing. There's nowhere in the world that I would rather be than when you are my love, and there's nothing in the world that I would rather see than your love, my mom. Then a big chorus, wonderful orchestra, treble tracking. And when we finished the record, everybody in the studio got up and cheered. So we knew we had something, and now over 20 years later, it's still being played all over the world, and it's become not only a love song, but it's become a wonderful song in all languages.
You not only wrote that, you also produced it. Who was the orchestra on this occasion?
What they call the normal session. I produced the record. So it's a special song. And, you know, when you're a songwriter, you pray for that type of song. Beside the longevity, it's something that is big, and that is great for a writer.
Do you remember the name of the musical director?
Cy Payne. Cy, thanks. It was a great, great arrangement.
You've composed close on 1,500 songs, give or take, one or two either side. Over the years, you've... Looking through the charts, I've made it about 32 hit records. Would that be about right?
We've charted all over the world, I'm glad to say. And in all those countries, as I said before, it's a big, big song. And many, many artists. And, you know, it's amazing. I can look at the machine, the YouTube, and still find new artists that I don't know cutting it, but also the old ones, those great old track, is played time and time again.
Arguably, your greatest hit song came in the Eurovision Song Contest of 1976, Save Your Kisses for Me, featuring the group you founded, created, the Brotherhood of Man. Were they established singers of the day? They'd been around since 1970, as it were, so they've been around a number of years. Were they names that we would know, or did you select them because of their professionalism?
What they did, after we did the demo, after I finished the producer demo, I knew, as I said before, the applause, it was excitement. And I knew this was something special. And then I was now looking for an act to put together. I asked many people, a lot of them said, I'm too busy or whatever. But eventually, Roger Greenaway and Johnny Goodison, Tony Burrows, and two lovely sisters, great artists, Sue and Sunny, they become the first of many, funny enough, they become the first Brotherhood of Man. And that was the hit. It was done again by the second Brotherhood of Man when I did an album, and in fact the third, but the actual hit world of that record was the original Brotherhood of Man with those artists I just mentioned.
You would have sold, I guess, what, 5 million, 6 million copies more, worldwide?
More. Singles and albums, you're looking at 10, 12 million.
It must have made you very proud.
Very rich, very proud. Thank God.
Though it hurts to go away, it's impossible to stay. But there's one thing I must say before I go. I love you.
I love you.
You know, I'll be thinking of you in most everything I do. Now the time is moving on, and I really should be gone, but you keep me hanging on for one more smile. I love you,
I love you,
all the while. With your cute little wave, will you promise that you'll say your
kisses for me? Save all your kisses for me.
Save them up for me.
your kisses for me. Save all your kisses for me. Bye-bye.
Save your kisses for me, Brotherhood of Man, winners of the 1970 Eurovision Song Contest. And shortly after that record made the charts, comedian Bob Williamson released a similar-sounding tune, but called his record Kippers for Tea. Tony, do you remember that song?
Save Your Kippers for Tea. And the guy, well, yes, the guy was a comedian, a well-known comedian.
The song for Europe, unfortunately, didn't go to me this year. I have the same management as a very famous group who won it, so I'd like to do my version of the song for Europe, seeing as the band's turned up at last.
Though it hurts to go away, I was called up yesterday as a deckhand on a midget submarine. To fish for the Queen. Off the Icelandic shore, I'll be there 2 years or more. Now the Cod War wasn't fun, 'cause the Cods beat us 3-1. If fighting Cods is what you want to do,
Fish fingers
to you. As I sailed off to sea, oh, what did you cook for me?
Kippers for tea, you gave me kippers for tea. Bye-bye, Ethel, bye-bye. Why were your kippers so high?
Though I liked how you looked, oh, I wish you hadn't cooked.
Kippers for tea.
Go back home to the sea. We were fishing in the gales, but all we caught were whales, so we had to file them down to look like cod.
They look rod.
I came off watch at 8, and guess what was on me plate? Oh,
kippers for tea. I'm sick of farewell, Ethel, farewell.
I just can't take the smell. When we hit the first wave, I remembered that you gave me
kippers for tea. You gave me kippers for tea. Bye-bye, Iceland, bye-bye. I'm going home now, and I
have got tears in my eyes, 'cause she's cooked me a surprise.
Sardines for tea, she's made me sardines for tea. Hello, Ethel, hello. Here I am back at home.
It's great to be back with you, even though you're 82. Oh.
Save Your Kippers for Tea. Humour there from Bob Williamson. And talking about football, which we weren't, Tony Hiller, my special guest, had connections with a number of football clubs, and I think he wrote songs for at least eight of them. So tell us a little more about this connection with football, Tony.
I've done eight football records. 1986, English World Cup. 1986, Scottish World Cup. That was those two. I did Manchester United. I did Manchester United again with Martin Buchan, who was the captain of the team. And I did Everton. Here we go, here we go, here we go. And I did many, many more, if I can remember them.
Chelsea?
I did Chelsea. I did Crystal Palace.
Why did you do eight football records?
Well, because Eric Hall, who was the manager of a lot of the ex, got permission from the club to have his songs written for the future cup games, and he gave me those to do, and I got artists together, I got the footballers. Remember, I had all those great footballers in a studio and recording them. And it's wonderful, you know, to look at all those giants in football, and here they are struggling with songs, and I've got my singers to be with them and point to them, you know. And we were very, very, we charted with everyone.
Tony, I'd like to play as many as we can, but obviously eight records is going to take 25 minutes. So what I'll do is a montage. Let's hear four of them for starters, and then we'll hear another four.
This one.
four songs there, written by Tony Hiller and featuring football clubs Liverpool, Chelsea, Crystal Palace, with Glad All Over, and finally Manchester United. Just four. We've got time for a couple more. Here we go with Everton Football Club and the England World Cup squad with We've Got the Whole World at Our Feet.
Here we go, here we go.
Selection of songs recorded by British football clubs and the England World Cup squad from 1986, all written by my guest, Tony Hiller. Now tell me some more of your songs recorded by different artists, including Cliff Richard, Lulu, Elton John, Malcolm Roberts, Sonny and Cher, Crystal Gayle, Andy Williams, Frankie Vaughan and Joe Brown. Just a few names that are on your wall here. You've got gold disc, platinum disc. I've never seen anybody's home surrounded by so much memorabilia.
Well, it is memorabilia. It's wonderful to look at these things and enjoy the wonderful success that's happened to one. One had to be lucky, one had to work hard. But, you know, a lot of people do that and they don't make it. But if you do make it, and all those wonderful things happen to you, you've got a memory for life.
But you're not one of those people who say, I'm going to work at 9 o'clock, I'm going to catch the train, be in work at 9 o'clock, and then leave at 5:30 to come home. I would presume you're a workaholic. And even today, you're a workaholic.
Well, I tell you how hard I worked. I was general professional manager of a publishing company called Belwin Mills. That was one job. And at the same time, I was a producer for Decca. So I was employed by two enormous companies, and I was going around the country looking for artists, then writing for them, and then producing them.
So any names stick out from the artists that you've met, ranging from Johnny Ray to Andy Williams in America, and some of the names I've mentioned from Great Britain? Surely you could sit down and write a book about just some of the artists who've recorded your songs.
The great thing about these people, once you're lucky enough to be in a position where you are producing them, you realise how great they are. I mean, say the album I did with Andy Williams was enormous, all over the world. And we took the original songs and we put lyrics to them, and I went in with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. So imagine going in the studio with Andy Williams there, and then me introducing him to the orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Andy Williams, and blah, blah, blah. And then a downbeat and this 76-feet orchestra. I mean, say it's in a different world.
Did you ever do any recordings in America? You mentioned about Andy Williams coming over to the United Kingdom, but did you ever have to go and produce records in the States?
I produced a lot of records in the States because I did a lot of writing. In fact, I was living in Nashville at one time, and I was writing with Byron Hill and many other American writers, and we demoed many, many, many songs, and I had very, very good hits from some of those wonderful American artists.
So you sit down at your piano, I would guess, or a guitar, or you whistle, and you come up with an idea for a tune, and then you eventually put words to it, and you then think, this is going to be a hit record, or it's going to be very commercial. How do you then go about ensuring that Andy Williams, Johnny Ray, or whoever it's going to be, Matt Munro, are going to record your songs? Have you got to make the contact?
Two ways. The more successful you are, the more interested artists and their management and agents want success. So they will go to writers that are having wonderful success and producers, and if they're the same, that's wonderful, and they will be only too glad to ask you to find time to cut my act, that would be his act. And then we would meet with the management, and then we'd talk about songs and all sorts of things. And once the record label says, okay, we have a deal, I go to my lawyer, and their lawyer and my lawyers do a deal that I require.
In the olden days, there were only four major record companies in the 1950s, 1960s. That tended to change in the 1960s through, indirectly, pirate radio that gave the opportunity for new artists, new recording singers, new record producers, new record labels. You, in your career, have worked for quite a number of record companies. Can you name some of them?
I would say at least the eight major record companies in the UK. I've cut acts in Spain, in France, all over the place. So that's an exciting life in itself. You get a bit tired after a while, but it's another wonderful feeling. You're going to go in a studio with people you don't really know. You know the artists, and you copy all those things, but there you are. I've been, again, very, very, very lucky and very proud to have produced and written for 50, 60 major artists of the world.
Well, you say being lucky. I mean, you're a true professional through and through, but taking the fact you're a songwriter, you're a music producer, you go to all countries in the world, you record with these most famous names, and you're still in the business today. Looking back, what do you enjoy most about your job? I know it's very varied, because one minute you're writing a song, the next minute you're producing something, then you're on an aeroplane off to Nashville, then you come back and you think, I've got to write another song. What's the most excitement you get out of your career? Is it the songwriting side, the producing, or fixing and perhaps creating a new group?
I think it's a marriage. It's a marriage because you've got a new artist. You've been given, or you've done a deal by your management for an artist. They want me, Tony Hiller, to write and produce an artist. For instance, the last just I did was with Amy's father, Mitch Winehouse. I've just done a very, very lovely big orchestral thing with Mitch of good middle-of-the-road songs, and the enjoyment of meeting her, God rest her dear soul, And having her in the studio, listening to her father while I'm doing my thing, very exciting. They're like just names. They're names until you know them. Then you realise how talented and wonderful these people are.
We haven't touched on films and television. Now, you've written music for TV programmes and films.
I've had six of my songs in movies. One was in a film that won the award. That is six or eight songs I've had of my songs, with my other co-writers, of course, in films. Beautiful, beautiful song, sung by a beautiful, beautiful singer.
So, from the films and television programmes that you've written for, can you just like to select one of those records off your shelf over there that we could play?
A Song Without Your Love, which was in a movie sung by Barbara Dickerson. Fantastic cut it was. Great lady and a wonderful singer. It makes one so proud, A, to be in this wonderful selection of artists, meeting them in the raw, as it were, and just realising how talented they are. So when all these talented people get into a studio and the orchestra playing and the harmony voices, it's a new world.
So if you wouldn't mind passing that single over, I can actually put it on a turntable. Side one, track one from Barbara Dickerson, the title again?
Side one, A World Without Your Love. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful message. And it was a great, great day because the orchestra was great. Everybody was really in tune and really good. So it turned out a most beautiful record.
Is more
beautiful song composed by my guest Tony Hiller, World Without Your Love, Barbara Dixon. Tony, in your career that has spanned, I don't know how many decades, but it must be at least five, you've received awards. I notice here on your wall, which is, unfortunately it's radio, so the listeners at home can't actually see that, but you've got, must be about half a dozen walls here, all covered with awards. Here's one, two, three, four, five, there's six Ivor Novello Awards, a similar amount, I should think, for ASCAP, those are Shields, and Chartbusters Awards, that's ASCAP again, I think you've got a couple of those. I've lost count. I got as far as 38, but I'm sure there's another wall over there, so there must be 40-odd, which you've got, which have gold and platinum discs. Sorry?
Yes, we have all sorts of lovely, lovely things up there. It's, again, as you said, a lot of hard work, a lot of luck, and a lot of fun.
Fun being the operative word, backed up by hard work.
And tears.
Yes, because you must have the downside to a job where you've got in perhaps a major name, the orchestra's superb, your song is fantastic, and yet, for some unknown reason, it doesn't actually make the charts. So that must be a bit of a disappointment. But with you, because you're very positive, you'll say, oh, well, tomorrow's another day and we'll write another song.
That is true. And you look for perfection. You can't guarantee. It can be a very, very hard day for the singer. It's a rainy day, all sorts of things. But with the experience that one has and being surrounded by such giants of people who play their instruments, of backing singers, you take all these things in the hand and you do say at the end, well, next time, we get luckier.
Now, as well as looking at your various walls and all the awards, etc., etc., I see you're a director of the Performing Right Society, and also we have something in common, which you probably wouldn't have thought of, being a songwriter, you, and me, a radio presenter.
In the Gold Awards, yes.
That's right. The British Academy of Songwriters, Composers and Artists.
There are people who are some very well known, some unknown, but it goes right the way through the music business. People who are teachers, music teachers, because of their hard work and the wonderful people they have taught their works to get that award.
Well, I was beside myself when I was told I was getting that. I thought, wow, why do I deserve that? All I am is a bloke who plays records.
Yeah, but you see, you are as important as the artist, as the writer, because you are another part of this wonderful machine that we use with the artist, hearing them in the air, seeing them on movies. We're all one large family, and on the whole, we're all very good to each other.
The first time I came across your name, Tony Hiller, on a gramophone record, was way back in 1963, I'd been over in East Africa. I was serving with the Forces Broadcasting Service in Nairobi, and I'd come back. And one of the last records that was sent to me was a record called Caroline by the Fortunes. I didn't realise at that stage of the game that that was going to play an important part of my life, because when I left Nairobi, little did I realise that 6 months later I'd be working for a radio station called Caroline. So the song itself was obviously not written for the radio station, because that didn't exist at the time, did it?
No, that's correct. But it was a song of the day. You know, you get songs that go on, and there was the Sweet Caroline and Caroline. A funny thing about the name, it's a great name, Caroline. It's very warming. It's very romantic. And it was a very, very, very good record. It really was a good record. We tried like hard to get it on the BBC, but the BBC wouldn't play it because we were played on the pirate ships, and they wouldn't help us at all.
But the record came out before Radio Caroline was going, so the record obviously sold then, didn't actually make the charts at that particular period of time. In fact, I don't think it made the charts at all, but it sold millions, obviously, around the world. And then the radio station adopted that song. I mean, there were quite a few songs called Caroline out at that particular time, but yours Radio Caroline caught on with. So did you liaise with them at all in any way, shape or form?
Yes, I tried to get the company to use it, which in fact they did.
But then, because it was promoting a pirate radio station, the BBC suddenly went and they didn't play it.
No, well, because as far as they're concerned, they didn't want to play it. But when it was all over, within 3-4 years, they started to play it regularly, I would say.
Well, I've certainly, in my career, only 55 years of being in the radio, I've played it more times than I've had hot dinners. And thank you for the hot dinner, by the way. So we'll hear it one more time.
Why not? Thank you.
Well, you need the money.
Of course we do.
So how many copies do you think that Caroline, by the Fortunes, sold around the world? Because it's appeared on numerous LPs that I've got.
24 albums.
Sorry, say again?
24 albums. And especially in Europe, very, very big. Norway, Denmark, all those countries. It was a very, very big record. And it has sustained. This time we're still getting plays on that song. It was just, number one, 27 countries. And they say over 18 million between singles and albums and foreign cuts. Astronomical.
And the Fortunes are still going, although we've lost a couple of the original members, unfortunately. I mentioned that you were a director of the Performing Rights Society, so you're well aware of all the publishing side. Perhaps you'd like to explain to our listeners in layman's English the setup that perhaps a lot of our listeners now have gone out in the past and bought a gramophone record, whether it's a Bakelite shellac old record that our parents used to play and our grandparents used to play, or in our case, vinyl records, or even on CDs. You get a lot of names all assembled on a small record label. Can you explain, is that for the writers? Is that for the music publishers? Why are all those names on the record?
It's for all the collecting houses abroad, even though if it's an English song, you are covered because of the things we have here in England. And every country has the same situation. If it's Norway or Denmark, the houses who collect will be collecting on your English publisher's part. So on the album, there will be an artist. There will be an orchestra or a band. There will be writers, so there will be publishers. All that makes up certain amounts that go to the respective collecting houses who collect on behalf of either the record label or the publishing companies. So everybody is protected. They get the monies that they are entitled to, obviously, including the artists. So there's a lot of people taking money out of that record. And the minimum very small, but of course, if you're doing very big, it's big money.
Well, you were talking about 15, 16, 17 million records sold in one particular case. Can I borrow a couple of quid off you later, after the programme?
No chance.
Time for more music now. Two songs written by Tony Hiller for the Brotherhood of Man. Angelo will be followed by Figaro, both of which reach the coveted number one spot.
Long ago, high on a mountain in Mexico, lived a young shepherd boy, Angelo, who met a young girl and he loved her so. Rich was she, came from a very high family. Angelo knew it could never be. They ran away to their destiny. Running away together, running away forever, Angelo. Running away from danger, hiding from every stranger, Angelo. They knew it wasn't wrong. They found a love so strong. They took their lives at night, and in the morning light, they found them on the sand. They saw them lying there.
We heard Angelo from top of the charts in 1977 and Figaro also top of the charts the following year in 1978. Now, turning to another song composed by Tony Hiller, this time for Cliff Richard, Sunny Honey Girl. This was a top 20 hit for Cliff in January 1971.
Such a funny child to love me. And I know there's something in your smile makes our love and living so worthwhile. I'm a lucky guy to have you here. Never shed a tear,
never shed a tear.
Only when you're here so near to
honey
me,
girl,
and dear to me, I love you. Paradise could be nothing more to me. I love you. Can't imagine how I lived before. Nothing else could make me love you more. I'm a lucky guy to have you here. Never shed a tear,
never shed a tear.
Only when you're near all my wrong is right. You always make the sunshine bright. Don't you ever go away. Baby, can't you hear me say, hey, hey, hey,
I love you.
I love you. Can't imagine how I lived before. Nothing else could make me love you more. I'm a lucky guy to have you here. Never shed a tear,
never shed a tear.
No, no. Sunny, honey girl, only girl to
love me.
Can't you hear me? Sunny, honey girl, you're the only girl to
love me.
Cliff Richard with Sunny Honey Girl. Now let's hear from a Sunny Honey Girl, namely Sonia, from the top 10 of June 1991, Only Fools Never Fall in Love.
No!
Only Fools Never Fall in Love from Sonia. Tony Hiller, we've overrun our one-hour programme just a little. We could stay here, in fact, for another hour with all your many, many hit records spanning decades. Thank you so much for telling us and letting us share part of your hit record career. It was indeed not just a great pleasure, but an honour to meet you.
Well, just to say, I had a very, very enjoyable time, and we all enjoyed it. Thank you. Love my cobble shoes, go build them nice, and love my falling, that's very nice. Thank you all, ladies and gentlemen.
You've been listening to the Tony Hiller story on the BBC in the Eastern Counties. Yours truly, Cardboard Shoes Keith Skews. Great pleasure to meet up with him.